are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Howe.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month right here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's 14. Boy, I forgot the numbers. 1420 in Chester County, Coatesville, 1570 in Doylestown, Philadelphia area. This is my 10th year. This is our 10th year on the Holy Spirit Radio. And I'm just coming back after Chuck Harvey has been hosting for about this past year, so I'm a little rusty with my call letters there, so forgive me. But it's great to be with you. This is a live program today. We got two great guests. We have headmasters Mr. Chris Keefe and Mr. Michael Patterson from Regina Chaley Academy and Regina Academy at St. John's the Baptist in Ottsville, which is right in our backyard here in the Bucks County listening area. So we're going to be talking about these wonderful Regina Academies and schools. We're going to be talking about the classical curriculum today. So if you're a parent, a grandparent, someone who is discerning where to send your kids for Catholic education, this is a great alternative for you. We have wonderful schools in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but I got to tell you, I'm a little personally biased with the Regina schools because my children attend one of them, and I've taught at Regina Chaley, so I have a lot of familiarity, and also I'm very much supportive of Regina Chaley through their advisory board. So I am very grateful to have this opportunity to share this good news with you today. But before we do that, we're going to start our program with our usual prayer, St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll give a brief update on upcoming TKM programs. And then we'll go to break. And then we'll have Chris and Mike on the program here today. We will take calls if you are interested. So we'll be giving out those numbers before we go to break. But if you want to call in, you want to talk to the headmasters, get a little more information, find out when the next open house is, just learn a little bit more. Or if you're a parent of a student who goes to Regina Academy at St. John's or Regina Chaley, and you'd like to call in and just share your witness and what that has meant to you as a parent, that's always wonderful radio when that happens. So we will start, as I said, encoding this program with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, the patron of the King's Men, and St. Joseph, the patron of Holy Spirit Radio, to pray for us. So here we are. Going to have a great program. Thank you for joining me there, men, with the prayer. Real quickly, Samson Retreat Program, this healing retreat program that has been changing and transforming men's lives for the last 3 years, is going to be coming back to Discovery House in New Jersey. That's Hamilton, New Jersey, March 17th to the 20th. So you're going to have to forego your St. Patrick's Day party, and you're going to have to consider possibly coming down and having corned beef and potatoes with us at the Discovery House in Hamilton. So this program, if you'd like to learn more, is at samsonretreat.com. And we have two other offerings this year, but we'll be in three weeks now till the next one. So still have some space available for anyone that's interested. We'd love to have you. Feel free to surf the web to learn more. But by all means, you're free to contact me if you want to get more information. That's mark@thekingsmen.org. And we got guys flying in for this next one, Chris, from New Mexico, which is amazing when you get guys flying in from all over. But mostly in the East Coast area. But anyhow, we got about room for 10 more guys. We have about 17, 18 guys right now, so we're interested in filling it up, going up to about 27, 28. So there is room, and it's not too late, and we do have financial aid available. Secondly, I want to talk about the Into the Wild program, our Into the Wild outdoor experiential program. That this program has brought 3,000 men together in the last six, 7 years. We'll be having seven of these retreats this year. And if you've been listening to Holy Spirit Radio, you know about this program. The only one in the local area is at Hickory Run State Park. That's August 4th through the 7th. And we're taking signups for that now if you'd like to get in on that. Fathers, bring your sons. It's a wonderful program for men and young men alike. And we will be there again August 4th through the 7th. And again, at Hickory Run State Park, that's about 50 minutes north of Quakertown, where I live. And we take them from all over. We also have six other offerings this year. If you can't do the August retreat, we have one in Hard Labor Creek. Isn't that great? Hard Labor. Would you like to go to Hard Labor Creek State Park in Atlanta, Georgia, April 28th? You want to fly down there? If you're going to be down there, you want to go there. You want to have a little R&R in another state? Hey, that's a wonderful option. We'll also be at a private ranch in Sholo, Arizona. We were there last year, and it's going to be another great experience. That's June 9th through the 12th. Again, Hickory Run, August 4th. We will be coming to Virginia, which is a little closer option for those in the local area, September 8th to the 11th. So Mary's birthday there, we'll be descending upon Prince William Forest. And then we'll be in the Adirondacks at the end of September, September 29th, October 2nd. That's not too far of a drive, but certainly an option for you. And then back at Kalamazoo, Bishop Bradley will be there. Also, Bishop Ed Scharfenberger will be at the Adirondacks one. September 29th. So that's wonderful when our bishops can join us, and they love the program. So, and then we'll be going after Kalamazoo, October 13th to the 16th, November 10th to the 13th, Texas. We'll be in Mejia, Texas. That's in the Diocese of Austin, or Mejia. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but spelled M-E-X-I-A. Fort Parker State Park. This is going to be an exciting retreat. We're at the old historic Fort Parker, which is actually, they had a Confederate reunion there with the Confederate soldiers. Yeah. And this is where the oil, the black gold oil, the first oil was really discovered in Texas, state of Texas. And all the celebrities would come there and they would visit there, and they were trying to cash in too. But, anyhow, we'll be at Fort Parker State Park. So, intothewildweekend.com if you'd like to learn more. And finally, the Masculine Genius Institute, May 18th to the 20th. I know I'm throwing out a lot of dates here today. May 18th to the 20th. You can learn more at MasculineGeniusInstitute.com. Kingsmen are putting on this program for all those seriously wanting to learn more about the character development of men. And we're forging a vision of manliness, and we're beginning with Greek thought, moving all the way up to JP2. We'll be spreading the gamut across the 2,000-year history of the church and learning more about what people like Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine had to say about manhood. So if you'd like to learn more, and check it out, MasculineGeniusInstitute.com. We're going to go to break now. And when I come back, I'll have a good 50 minutes with our headmasters, Chris Keefe and Mike Patterson. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this program. Okay.
The Crunch heard round the world. I'm Matthew Wagner of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. Pro-abortion activists proved that they know even less about comedy than they do about science when they got upset over a Doritos commercial that aired during Super Bowl 50. The life-affirming ad featured an ultrasound video of a baby reacting to the actions of his father. The abortion activist group NARAL complained that the commercial was, quote, humanizing fetuses, unquote. This incident just further demonstrates how science and medicine, through the use of ultrasound, give us a window into the life of a preborn child, living, playing, and reacting to his or her surroundings, despite abortion activists' claims that a fetus is nothing more than a bunch of cells. In an added twist of irony, the baby in the ultrasound video used in the commercial is now a 9-month-old baby boy. How's that for humanizing?
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims has trained technicians who will take care of all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. They handle all emergencies and repairs, as well as all new system purchases. Summers and Zims' telephone number is 610-593-5129. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, it's the Kingsmen radio program. We're a live program here at Holy Spirit Radio, a local program. So it's not your traditional EWTN global radio programming. You have the local show today, and we have two wonderful guests. We have Chris Key from Regina Chaley Academy, Headmaster of Regina Chaley Academy, and Michael Patterson from Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist, Headmaster. We're going to be talking about these wonderful Regina schools today, and I've invited them to be a part of this program because who better to talk about it than the Headmasters. So welcome, man. Welcome, both of you.
Mark, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Great to be here.
Likewise, Mark. Thank you.
Great to have you here. No, it's great to be back and myself and to have such wonderful, my first guests are these two wonderful men. So let's talk a little bit about who you guys are. Now, Chris, you and I have gone back a few years, you know, with the Kingsmen Apostle. We've known each other for years. You just transitioned from Regina Angelorum Academy,
right. Yep.
Which is the wonderful Regina School in Ardmore. Mm-hmm. And you were teaching there, and now you've been promoted, shall we say, to Headmaster at Regina Chaley. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So just a quick curriculum vitae, if you will, is I went to seminary. I was actually in the seminary with the Legionaries of Christ. So a lot of my classical background, if you will, is from seminary training. And so after leaving the seminary, I got a job at Regina Angelorum and was able to be there for 6 years teaching various classes, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh, and eighth grade. And just had a wonderful experience there. And when the previous headmaster at Regina Chaley, Joe Austin,
right,
ended up moving out to Pittsburgh to be with his family, the position opened up, and I kind of threw my hat in. And amazingly enough, you know, for me, it opened up, and things worked out well. It's like the Holy Spirit led us, or led me specifically, to Regina Chaley. And so now I've been headmaster there for just a year and a half, so I'm kind of a novice headmaster, looking
yeah.
up to people like Mike Patterson, who've been in the position
yeah,
for a lot longer.
Administrator so, extraordinaire. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us a little about your personal life, your state in life, married man.
So I'm a married man, and actually my wife and I, my wife Katie and I, are expecting our first child in March.
Praise God.
So the due date is coming up pretty quickly. So we're, you know, very excited, obviously, about that.
And yeah.
You know, just a new step in life.
Yeah,
you know,
amen.
With a new child, so
new perspective. I get. Yeah, I imagine it'll really help you, as it did for me, understand, you know, the formation of men, but also working with young people.
Yeah,
and having
for sure.
a little one at home is probably give you a little greater patience, or at least you'll have more of a schooling
so,
in patience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
hope so.
Now, Mr. Patterson's got. We'll call you Mike on
that's
the program.
That's okay.
I'm so used to calling Mr. Patterson at the school for formality's sake. But Mike, you've been in the teaching field for 40 years, right? So tell us a little bit more about you and how you came to the Regina headmaster role.
So this is a professional way of telling me that I'm old. I've been in Catholic education for over 40 years. I started as a teacher in West Philadelphia at Our Mother of Sorrows, and Our Mother of Sorrows, you know, praise the Lord, is still there.
Wow.
I was able to cut my teeth on my brand of being a Catholic school teacher and now an administrator, making sure that the children in my school never forget about the poor, because that was Monsignor
sure.
Daly. That was his mission. He impressed that upon me. I then went on to various places, Northeast Philadelphia at Resurrection. Then I spent 5 years in Camden, New Jersey, in the shadow of Camden High. At St. Bartholomew Catholic School.
Wow.
I came across the river back to Northeast Philadelphia to St. Bartholomew Catholic School, which meant when I picked up the phone and said the wrong name, it was still the right name. then I ventured out into Ardsley at Queen of Peace, Holy Child in Manayunk, and now I am at Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist in Ottsville. And I have to tell you, it's I have loved everywhere I have been. The children have a special place in my heart, but I really love where I'm at now, and it has to do with the faith in the curriculum.
So with all those urban schools, you had Ardsley and now Ottsville.
I don't know how urban Ardsley is.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. With Ardsley and Ottsville, you're a little more bucolic, but you had all those urban settings. Now you have these kids in the burbs. What's that like?
Not much different, yeah. quite frankly. The faith is the faith. The message that we bring to the children is the same. One of the things that I can say about the children in Ottsville, and I say this to everyone all the time, in many ways, it reminds me of the education that I had in 1950s in St. Bernadette's in Drexel Hill. We just do some of the same things that we do. For instance, you know, we'll bless the hour. We'll say the Angelus, or, you know, when you're supposed to be saying the Angelus. We'll say the Regina Caeli when we're supposed to say the Regina Caeli.
Mm-hmm.
All these, we have benediction on Thursday. Every Thursday we have benediction. It's all of those great traditions from the Catholic faith, that imprinted upon me and the people that I went to school at. There is something to be said for ritual, and we've tried to bring some of those back.
Well, I mean, that's really the charism of these Regina schools, and we're going to dive into that because we really are going back to another time, you know, the way Aquinas. I mean, I'm reading Augustine's City of God, and I mean, he was classically trained, you know, I mean, Latins, Greeks, he's reading Homer, Virgil, and, you know, all these wonderful Cicero writings. And so, you know, this great mind was formed that way. So we're going to dive deep into that. So we want to talk about these schools. We want to talk about, you know, what is a classical curriculum, and, you know, why should it matter? Why should anyone even be considering that? So, as I've learned, you know, through my time with Regina Caeli and not really having much knowledge of a classical curriculum and working there for a year, I started to see a tremendous difference in how I was raised. As you were saying, Mike, in my school system, it wasn't like this. You didn't hear hymns in the hallways. You know, you know what I mean? I mean, this is Regina Caeli in Windmore. So let's talk a little bit about, let's talk with you, Chris, and really, you know, your experience at Regina Angelorum, and now, these schools started from nothing. Regina Caeli was the first Regina school in the Philadelphia Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the history of the Regina schools, specifically where you're at, and you can give a little bit more perspective of Regina Angelorum. And why did the founders of these schools, why did they want these things to happen?
Yeah, I think those are great questions, and I'm sure Mike can vouch for the fact that when parents come in, they ask the same questions, you know, when we're giving tours of the school or whatever. Why a school like Regina Caeli? Why a school like Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist? It's funny that you should say that because our website is actually yrca.com.
I saw that.
So if anybody wants to go on and see, you know, our website.
Tab,
so
yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the answer to that question is when parents are looking for something for their children, they want the best for their children. I mean, you see that across the board. Every parent wants what is best for their children. And the parents that we get who come looking at our schools are very interested in two things in particular. I would say the faith formation and the intellectual formation. What we also offer at the Regina Academies is the human formation, you know, not just the intellectual, not just the faith formation, but also the moral instruction, the way to be a true human being. And what we're attempting to do at our schools is we are trying to help these children to prepare themselves and to form themselves for life. You know, so we're educating them for life, not just to get a job, not just to, you know, be successful. We think those things will come to these children because they have the mindset on being everything that God wants them to be. And as a matter of fact, our motto for our school year this year is taken from St. Francis de Sales, which is be who you are and be that well. Yeah, exactly. And so that's the message that we're giving the children. And obviously as faculty, as staff, administration, we also try to do the same thing. You know, we're trying to be everything that we should be, that God is calling us to be. And so that's the type of formation that we're trying to give these children. And so when a parent asks us, why Regina Caeli? Why should I send my children here? It's because we believe that we can offer these children a great formation in the faith, a great formation in their intellect, a great way to just be Catholic Christians in the world and be leaders in whatever God's calling them to do. And so that's more of a general answer to that question. I don't know.
So Regina Caeli, I'll get Mike's thoughts on that too. Regina Caeli's been around for how many years?
Regina Caeli's been around for 12 years.
So it was the first one in the Archdiocese, and then Regina Angelorum popped up after that. And so 12 years, and then Regina Angelorum, then Regina Luminous. And now for the second year, Regina Academy at St. John. So tell us, Mike, how that morphed in, because we were a parish school. This is a whole hybrid, experience. Mm-hmm. Tell us how that came about, and what's up with that?
Well, Mark, I'm going to be in trouble when I go home if I don't say on March the 27th I will be married for 40 years.
Oh, okay,
God bless that dear woman.
Congratulations.
I have three daughters. The eldest is Sister Megan. There, I threw the nun card, so I'm good. That's my entrance into the gates of heaven. And then I have my middle daughter, Lauren, who has my grandchildren. And our youngest, Bridget, I'm going to be having another. I won't be having it, but we're going to have a grandchild on April the 29th.
Congratulations.
And no, we don't know the gender of the boy.
How many grandchildren do you have?
They'll be my third.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm rather young, believe it or not.
Okay. Sorry, we missed that.
I had to get that in.
We dive right into the classical curriculum after your long litany of schools that you were at work. I lost my train of thought there. So tell us about, just how Regina Academy came to be about. It's an interesting story.
Actually, Mark, it really is an interesting story. On January the 6th, 2012, the Blue Ribbon Commission had decided that St. John the Baptist Parish School was going to go out of existence. But a number of people in the school had already formed what was an advisory board, and they took the mission upon themselves to make sure that this parish school was not going to close. And it was, they went down to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, they presented their case, they were given 2 years in order to, bring the enrollment up, bring donations, fundraising up, all of which we did, and then this opportunity to go with the Regina Academies presented itself, and for us it seemed to be a perfect match, because everything that Chris is talking about, it is what our parents want. Honestly, the Regina Academies are not for everybody. It's not what we're trying to get everybody through the building. We do believe in a classical Catholic education. One of the great changes and one of the biggest changes that we went through was every September we sign an oath of loyalty to the magisterium of the church.
Mandatum.
Yeah, the mandatum.
And exactly. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I found that rather freeing, because whenever there's a question that comes up, the response from the teachers and the response from the headmaster is, let's go to the catechism. Mm. It's right there for you. You don't have to think of a politically correct answer. You don't have to think about an answer that would or would not insult someone. Mm. Here's what the truth is. And we teach these children the truth as presented to us by the magisterium. So I guess that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah. Well, we're blessed. I mean, I always said to, they said, why don't you send your kids to Virginia Chili? And I was up here in Quakertown. I said, I can't get them there. I mean, we'd be up at 5:30 in the morning. So Ottsville Regina Academy at St. John's was a real answer to prayer, because we were, we homeschool our kids, but, we had a situation where we needed to put the kids from some early childhood formation, and it became a wonderful option for us. So my two middle children are at Regina Academy, Catherine and Ava, kindergarten and pre-K. And you were so great to us, Mike, when we arrived. You're like, hey, we'll work with you. We came in mid-year last year, and it was a smooth transition. As it turned out, it was the best decision we made, because Ryan Marie, we ended up miscarrying a baby, but we were blessed with a new baby a month ago. So, it was what we needed, and thank you. So let's dive a little bit more deeper into this true, good, and beautiful, right? You often hear that true, good, and beautiful, and why aren't we using this language with our other Catholic schools? I mean, that sounds like something I want, right? Mm-hmm. So as we talk about, homeschooling parents and people who really want to protect their children. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of the busing system. They're afraid of what happens. I hear the horror story sometimes on what happens on buses. I went to LaSalle High School, and, we would transfer with the public schools, so we'd have CBUS and CBE's kids on there. And, you're opening yourself up to a whole Pandora's box when you. So, anyhow, not to go off on a tangent, but parents want to protect their children. And I know that when I was at Regina Chaley, and certainly I know that nothing is going to be usurped from my authority as a parent, as the primary educator of my children, when I send my children to the Regina schools. How do your parents feel about that? Give some thought about, turning their children over to you guys to shepherd them for the day, the parent, the teachers. Is this important to them, that the lessons that are being taught in the home are being reinforced at the school? I would assume it is.
Yeah. Well,
and what's the sentiment?
Well, and I think you hit it right on the head there, Mark, when you were saying that the parents are the primary educators of the children. And so that's a principle that I know at Regina Chaley we follow, and I'm sure at Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist is the same thing, is that parents are the ones who are with the children. They're the ones who are forming their children in the home. And,
right.
You know, the home is the domestic church. And so what we're here to do is, you know, I feel blessed and, you know, a tremendous sense of responsibility in the fact that these, that parents have entrusted their children to our care.
Sure.
One of the comments that we get a lot at our school is, when prospective parents come in, or even parents of current students, is the children are always happy. The children are joyful. They're happy. They always have smiles on their faces. They're very respectful, so they'll say hello to you in the hallway. They you know, even if it's somebody that's walking with me, they know who I am. But they'll say hello to a guest that's coming in. Just some welcome, you know, welcome to Regina Chaley. So those types of things, the parents see that. There's really positive effects of sending their kids to a school like Regina Chaley in the formation of their children. Maybe something that, you know, whatever their parent situation is at home, whether, you know, they wanted to homeschool and they just, you know, in your situation couldn't make that happen for whatever reason. They're entrusting their children to us. And like I said, it's a very tremendous responsibility that we have, and we take that seriously. And we do want to help these children to look and to see and to experience what is true, good, and beautiful, like you, again, starting off this question. And I think it's something that, as Mike mentioned, you know, it might not be for everybody, but the people who are there, it is what they desire, and it's what they've discerned is good for their family.
Let me just stay with you for just a second, then we'll turn over to Mike. So parents have this, you know, desire and hunger to make sure that they are protecting the innocence of their children for as long as they possibly can, and really not turning them over to the culture. Now, this classical curriculum thing, like, for me, it's just a bonus, right? I mean, I see great value in the classical curriculum, and we're gonna talk about what that actually is. But for me, it was more the reinforcement of the Catholic tradition and the faith and the formation of the human person, as you were saying, that was so vital. And then you tell me, oh, you're gonna teach them Greek and you're gonna teach them Latin. Great, that sounds awesome. Yeah. How do you begin to educate your parents as to the benefit of a classical curriculum? Like, how do you transition that thought so that they start to see value in what that actually is?
Well, I think the answer to this question, or my starting point, is what is our ultimate goal? Everybody, our ultimate goal is to get to heaven. The parents who send their children to Regina Chaley, to any of the Regina academies, they want what's best for their children. And a lot of our parents think, you know, what's best for our children is for our children to get to heaven. And so we are trying to help them, help the families, help the students, equip them to be ready for life, to have that education for life. So the faith formation obviously is very, very important. And so this is a way that we can help your children to get to heaven. And so this idea of the classical curriculum, the founders, you know, in talking to Mrs. Henkels and talking to the Longins, you know, people who have started these schools, it's what is the best way that we can educate these children, that we can help form these children? And so the classical curriculum seemed to be the answer to that, to what is the best way to reach each one of these children. So, you know, presenting to them the things that are true so that their intellect can naturally go towards those things and delight in the truth. Also presenting what is good, you know, so our wills, you know, our desires are formed to tend towards what is good, you know, to tend towards, you know, you talked about the Kingsmen, the genius of masculinity, but even just the genius of the human person, that our desires, God puts desires in our hearts that tend toward the good. So let's present to these children what is good, what is really good and beautiful and true. And then that beauty, which, you know, it is looking at the awe and wonder of God, you know, that beauty that really draws people to what is true and what is good. And so, you know, just giving the children those types of things. And so that's how we do it in our curriculum. So we bring those elements into our history classes.
Right.
We bring them into our math classes. You know,
It's not just religion classes.
It's not just religion classes.
That's right.
Exactly. So it's what, one, my first grade teacher, puts it very well is, in science class or whatever, when the children are talking about animals or whatever they're doing in science class, she says, you know, she takes a step back and says, isn't God amazing? Didn't he think of everything? And I think we can answer or say that for any of the subjects that we're teaching, you know, for math, for science, for history. didn't God think of everything? Isn't God amazing? Mm. So that really draws that awe and wonder out, and that beauty of God. And that's where the classical education, I think, comes in.
Cool.
Is forming the entire person in those aspects. All right. Again, very theoretical, but.
No, that's good. I we're seeing the thematic development through the curriculum. That's beautiful. So someone, like you, Mike, who had a traditional parochial kind of system, and now you have this classical curriculum. What's that been like for you? What's your perspective, and how are you learning that? How is your staff learning it? And what are your parents saying about it?
Well, if you really wanted to know about classical curriculum, listen to the podcast of what Chris just told us, because that was just fantastic. We are a different bird.
Yeah.
we were a parish school.
Right.
And one of the struggles that we had with the transition was exactly what is a classical curriculum? Why should we be teaching that to our children now? There are a lot of arguments that I could make, but what seemed to carry the day was two words, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs had a classical curriculum. Steve Jobs sent his children to a classical school that did not have computers, because Steve Jobs understood that computers are a tool. They're just a tool. There's no difference between them and an overhead projector. I mean, when I went to school, when they brought in the overhead projector, it was as if Elijah himself had come down into the classroom, because this was like the wow factor. So I think that's how we carried the day with our parents, showing them that all of the great minds in Western civilization had this course of teaching.
So it's not a Catholic curriculum per se. Classical
curriculum is
not a Catholic curriculum. We can make it Catholicized.
Yes.
It, but like you said, Jobs, as I know, wasn't a Catholic.
No, he was far from that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether Chris still does. One of the blessings that I have in the school is I teach seventh grade history. I love history, and we use the Catholic Textbook Project textbooks. They are the most beautiful textbooks that I have ever taught out of. Mm-hmm. And what this course is, if you went to a high school back in the day, when you were a freshman, you were taught Western civilization.
Yes.
And it was Western civilization through the eyes of the church. And just yesterday, as a matter of fact, right now, we are in seventh grade history. And if it had not been for Leo III at Constantinople, we all be worshiping Allah right now. But he stopped them at Constantinople. And that was the church that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the things that if you were to go out into the secular media, if you were to go out in the secular world, they are things which would not be told to people.
Mm-hmm.
These are things which people cannot face because it doesn't fit their mission of what they want to see in the Catholic Church. Western civilization, as we know it today, was saved by the Catholic Church. Now, I always add, specifically, by the Irish and the Irish monks who were hand copying all the great works of the Greeks and the Romans. And this is what we talk about. What we are able to add is the Catholic aspect to that. That's why we use the Catholic classical curriculum, and when we advertise or when we talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, when we come back from this second break, we will talk about what separates classical curriculum. The Latins, the Greeks, we mentioned, but this rhetoric, you know, you just had your first declamation at Regina Academy. What is all that? You know, teaching kids reasoning and logic, all these wonderful things that I never got in private Catholic education. We just never did. I got it in college. But you're really introducing these concepts to kids at a pretty young age. And it's really, as someone who's got his master's degree in education, it's not the way we teach students in college and grad school how to form kids, you know, in the field of education. It is not the Common Core. It is totally something different. And so we're introducing things. You're really giving kids the benefit of the doubt that they have the ability, the bandwidth to absorb some of these things. I mean, I used to teach French, and they say the best way to immerse children in language is to do it at a young age. Mm-hmm. So you're incorporating these things that, like, I didn't get Latin until I was in high school. And that was just to get, you know, do well on the SAT, you know? There was this overall formation element of it. It was like, hey, let's get some Latin in this kid. And Greek, I couldn't tell you Greek. I mean, unless I was in a fraternity, and I wasn't, I wouldn't know anything about Greek. So we're going to go to our second break. We'll be right back. And if you'd like to call in, if you're a parent and you want to ask a question of these two wonderful headmasters, my guests today, Mike Patterson and Chris Keefe, the numbers are 215-345. I know what it is. 347-1570. I got Kathy, the producer, in here pointing to the number. I've been away a year, but it doesn't matter. I forget the numbers. 215-345-1570. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A quote from Thomas Merton in This Year of Mercy. The very contradictions in my life are in some ways signs of God's mercy to me. Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 24 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Did you ever wonder about the Canterbury Tales? The tales, as a whole, take place on a religious pilgrimage to Canterbury. Learn how art can imitate life and relate to messages that are meaningful even today. Taking place on Saturday, February 27th from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley. The presenter of this talk is Father Jonathan Dallin. Find out more by calling 215-493-3377.
Phone call. We are having a good time today. We got Regina Academies here, and we're talking about the Regina Schools. And if you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Mark Halk, and this is the Kingsmen radio program here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 on your Chester County dial or 1570 in your Bucks County, Philadelphia area dial. So, again, the numbers, if you'd like to call in, you're a parent, you want to say, hey, I really value these schools, and this is what my kid is learning, and we're so blessed. Or you want to call in and just have a question. Maybe you're discerning bringing your child to a Catholic school. They're coming of age, they're four, and they're five. Well, what do we do? You know, that's kind of nerve-wracking. There's Regina schools all around this Five County area, so it's not just the two that are here today. But anyhow, numbers again, 215-345-1570. And during the break, Chris Keith mentioned to me that we wanted to kind of qualify my statement, which was classical curriculum isn't necessarily Catholic. And I said, sure, let's do that, because I want to make sure we're giving the right information out. So go ahead, Chris, explain that a little bit more deeply for us.
No, thanks, Mark. So I would say that you had mentioned the classical. Obviously, the classical tradition comes to us in our Western civilization from the Greeks, from the Romans. And what they were able to really focus on is the fact that there is truth, that man and women, we can know things. Like, we can know what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. And so, you know, obviously with the revelation of, with Jesus coming into the world, and obviously we're in Lent, you know, so we're getting ready for the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. But that's, you know, the fullness of this truth. And so classical education, that idea that we can form people to know the truth, to love the truth, and, you know, love the goodness, love the beauty. I mean, that's what we're doing here. And so the Catholic obviously really fits in very nicely. But it's not, like you said, there are classical schools that aren't specifically Catholic. Like Steve Jobs' school probably, you know, wasn't Catholic. So,
and there's a lot of them out there. It's a lot of Christians, Protestant brethren, are synagogues. But if I'm hearing correctly, what I'm hearing is to find its fulfillment, it would be found for a classical curriculum to be truly what it's meant to be, it would find its fulfillment in the Catholic Church's tradition.
Yes.
That's basically what we're saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I couldn't pitch it any better. Okay. So let's talk about the children again. We kind of alluded to the children, getting formed at a young age. Boy, you get these kids standing up at 5, 6 years of age, and they're given talks and speeches. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kid won't even say hello to anybody in the hallway, you know. The kiss of peace this is my son, not my two other ones. The kiss of peace at Mass is a major stressor for him, you know. So let's talk about these kids and how we begin to kind of open them up a little bit, give them some courage. Let's talk about that. You just had your first declamation.
Yes.
Why don't we start there? What is a declamation, and how is that part of a classical curriculum?
part of a classical, a declamation is to take a piece of classical writing and stand up and actually declaim that. Stand in front of a group of people and make people understand what the writer wanted you to know by either that piece of prose or that classical writing. It's part of a classical education because our children, after they've been given the truth, especially the Catholic truth, they need to be able to go out and proclaim that. They need to have all of the skills that they will need in order to defend the faith, to spread the faith. You know, we're one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And we do a disservice to our children if we are not giving them opportunities to speak. That is.
Why do we do that in traditional schools? Why is it that I didn't give my first presentation until I was in high school? You know, I mean, I went to Gwen and Mercy Academy. God bless the Mercy Sisters, but we weren't really offering that. You're at St. Bart's, you're at, you know, all these schools. Why is it that we don't do that to the kids? What's the thought process behind that?
I will tell you what my personal belief is, and it's because of testing.
Testing.
We're more worried about what's going to be on the test in mid-March or whenever, as opposed to, you know, what we're trying to, you know, fully give the children.
Okay. That's a good
also
answer.
In a regular parish school, there are a number of things that come down the pike from the state and things like that, which
standards
you have to do.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned Common Core. You know, you had to do that if you were going to be
get the funding,
the funding, and be a certified school in the state of Pennsylvania. Right. So, I mean, that has to be taken into account. You know, you had mentioned Happy and, you know, the younger children being able to speak. Yesterday, before your children were picked up, I was sitting in the chair by the front
door. With Ava and Kitty?
And they were all there. And there was another, the other kindergartner, Teddy. And they were just talking about everything that came up, the show and tell dolls.
Uh-huh.
And to be perfectly honest with you, at the beginning of the year, they weren't talking.
But
that's one of the things that we see in our schools is that children that come to us and are too shy to talk or have been in situations before where they couldn't verbalize what they were feeling, they're able to do that here at our school. And I've been to Regina Chaley and all the other ones too,
so this declamation is very important part of I know Regina Chaley is kind of like the shining star of the Regina schools when it comes to declamation.
They better bring their A game on the 11th.
Talk about that. So tell us a little bit more about that at Regina Chaley, but also give us some more the rhetoric, give us some more about the typical pieces of the curriculum.
Okay, so when we talk about a classical curriculum, especially in the levels that we're teaching. So Regina Chaley is pre-K through eighth grade. We have a Montessori pre-K and kindergarten, which we thought, you know, we've decided as a leadership group that the Montessori best prepares the children.
She was
for
a
the
Catholic,
classical.
Maria Montessori.
And then it best prepares the children for what they're going to experience in first grade with, like, the specifically classical education. When we talk about it, we talk about three stages of formation. So we talk about the grammar stage, the logic stage, and the rhetoric stage. And for each grade or, you know, each section, there's an emphasis on one of those stages. One of my teachers, our third grade teacher, actually put it really great when a great analogy with boxes. You know, in the grammar stage, which is usually first grade through about fourth grade, maybe even fifth grade, depending on the children. The big box that you're focusing on is the grammar stage. So the memorization, like knowing what the facts are that you're learning. So that's the grammar stage. But the big box is the grammar stage, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a logic stage or there isn't a rhetoric. Those components are there, but they're not the focus.
Right.
So with our first through fourth, fifth grade, they still have the opportunity in our morning forum, presentation. So it's like our morning assembly, but we call it a forum because that's where people can come in and talk about, you know, whatever they're learning in school. So our first through fifth graders can have the opportunity in forum to present something to the entire school. And then the beautiful thing about the forum is an example like Mike was talking about. We had a student come in last year in second grade, was extremely shy. And by the time, you know, now the end of the year, starting to come out of his shell a little bit in third grade, volunteering to be the parts in these forum presentations. So just an amazing transformation. We're giving the person, you know, in the grammar stage, we're giving them the confidence of knowing what the material is so that they can speak it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grammar stage is knowing what the material is, but they have the opportunity to have the rhetoric stage, you know, where they're able to explain what they're learning. Again, a beautiful thing about the forum is first graders can do a poem, and our eighth graders can ask them questions about the poem, and the first graders have to answer, and they're going to answer, obviously, as first graders. And then vice versa, when the seventh and eighth graders are doing a presentation like they did yesterday for us, we can have first graders ask questions about, okay, what did that mean? Like, who was Julius Caesar? That was the presentation yesterday in forum. But so that's just the beautiful way of how we work as a community. So we have the grammar stage, first through fourth, fifth grade. Then we have the logic stage, which is making those connections, you know, so logically, you know, we actually have a logic class in our seventh and eighth grade, but, you know, the premises, you know, going from premises to conclusions and things like that. So
I got a D in logic in college. So, you know, it's probably because I never was presented logic any other time. But go ahead. I pass failed it so I could keep going. But go ahead.
So it was good. So that again, is basically from about, you know, fifth grade until around seventh grade is the logic stage. But again, that doesn't mean that we're not still teaching them the grammar, you know, the what of a particular subject,
sure,
or the rhetoric of being comfortable enough with the material to explain it, to talk to people about it. And then lastly is the rhetoric stage, where they're, you know, they know the material, they've made the connections, they can, you know, bring up analogies, bring up metaphors, things like that, and they can explain what they know. And that's so important for us, because when they get into high school, what we want is to have these children be well-formed enough to know what the truth is and then be able to talk about the truth, explain it.
This is why, friends that are listening, this is why these schools are so important, because – you know, to be a good citizen back in the fourth century, as I'm reading City of God, Augustine, you must be able to speak publicly and speak it well, right? And somehow we've lost this, you know, and you talk about rhetoric and how this is, you know, introduced at such a young age, and, you know, well, these kids can do it. You know, I think a lot of people don't think, oh, they can't do that. You know, well, yes, they can, but no one raises the bar for them. I think Regina schools are raising the bar. I think that's why I like the schools. That's why I think I see the value in them. And it's authentically Catholic. Look, we have wonderful diocesan schools. We do. St. John Neumann set up the system, and you know, we have a wonderful system. And no one is here to say on this radio program today that our Catholic schools that are out there that are not Regina schools are not of value. By no means. We would never put that. But there is a difference here. We're just demonstrating with the difference, and you decide for yourself. You'd like to call in and talk to our headmaster today, 215-345-1570. Hey, if your kids attend a parochial school and you're like, we do the same thing there. Everything that they're doing, we want to hear about it. It's interesting that Cardinal O'Hara is now going to become a Chesterton Academy with Regina schools. The Chesterton Academy says another Regina type school popping up all around the country, and now the high school, they're going to have a whole Chesterton track, right? Regina Chesterton Academy, a classical curriculum track at O'Hara, which is really awesome that that school sees the value in it. I think that's really neat. So anyhow, let's listen aside. Let's keep moving on. Let's talk about the parents, and we can dive further into the curriculum. What's the parents' response to this stuff? Because, again, like me, they probably weren't educated this way. Mike, what is their response? You know, are they positive about it? What's their thoughts?
The response to Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist has been nothing but positive. And I think one of the reasons is because these parents, these families have put their flag in the ground and say, this is where we want to be. Are we a perfect school? Far from it, because we're run by human beings. You know, we make mistakes. If there's concerns that come up, the parents are kind enough to come to me and give me an opportunity to see, you know, if we can make the experience better for them. But they really, truly enjoy the things that we are doing in our school for their children.
Now, you have parents that were experiencing a seventh and eighth grade parents, sixth grade, fifth grade parents that saw it pre-Regina Academy. Do they see a difference? Do they mention it? Like, I like what you're doing, or I mean, I know you said that they like it, but I mean, you have parents that didn't experience, and now they're experiencing it. Is there any change in their thoughts about it, or?
Well, again, I would say the majority of their comments to me are nothing but positive. I can tell you that there were families, and I'm being honest, that were with us when we were still the parish school, but when we transitioned to the Regina Academies, they had decided that they would rather remain in a parish school, so they went on there.
It's what suited them. Okay,
that's great. And I might also add, I've never made any bones about being an authentically Catholic school, no matter where I was. And I was one of seven Catholics in Camden, New Jersey. And I've always said to all of my staffs that we will make no bones about the fact that we are a Catholic school. We will not apologize for that. And I mention that because throughout the entire Archdiocese of Philadelphia, there are good men and women who are administrators and teachers that they actually bring that into their
Indeed.
Buildings every day.
Indeed.
They really do a good job. But the key word that you used is that we are different. And I think one of the things that separates us from a regular parish school is, in fact, our curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let's talk about the parents. I Regina Chaley, obviously a different beast, animal, whatever you want to call it. Started, you know, from scratch. Everyone that kind of came knew what they were getting.
Yeah.
And had been, you know, with the school for 12 years. Some of them probably since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Some of the kids are moving into high school. So I know the parents are very active in the school. They're very much take a mm-hmm. role. You got to when I was there, they were always coming through the building. Always coming through the building. Tell us, give us a parent's perspective. A typical Regina Chaley Academy parent.
Well, again,
what's he or she like?
So just I think the main thing here is that the parents are the primary educators of the
right.
children. So they're
right.
very much involved in what the children are doing. And I think the perspective from the parents, like I want to reiterate what Mike said, is that we're not a perfect school by any means. But, you know, we're doing the best that we can. We're trying to be everything that we can be and be that well, you know, going back to St. Francis de Sales.
Sure.
But a parent at Regina Chaley Academy wants the best for their children. They communicate well with the faculty, and that's I pride myself on that. I say I have the best faculty in the world, and I really believe that.
Mm.
So I was just looking at Mike there.
I have the
best faculty in the world, and they go out of their way to communicate to the parents. And one of the things that's very helpful is the fact that we intentionally keep our class sizes small. So we have a limit of around 15 students per class. And what that enables us to do is the teachers can personalize the education for their children a lot better than they could in a larger class.
Yeah, sure.
And so communication with the parents is key. So we have communication between parents and faculty, again, which I think is amazing. The faculty really go out of their way to do that. The parents feel comfortable bringing a problem up to the faculty.
Yeah.
Like, this happened in a test. You know, what happened? What
right.
did you notice? Or my child is experiencing this in your classroom. You know, and I know the faculty, they love the children. They really want what's best for the children. And part of their job is to communicate and communicate well with the parents. The other side of the communication is the sense of community that we have at Regina Chaley Academy, and I'm sure it exists at Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist, and it is something that I experienced at Regina Angelorum, the sense of where parents, they feel like they are in it's a beautiful community. I can't really put it into words, but it's something that you experience, that there's a strong, palpable sense of community amongst our parents.
It's
because,
so important.
Well, because everybody's like-minded, and we're all in this together. You know, it's a team, concerted effort to give the best education that we can to all of the children, all of the families.
I'll tell you, as me as a parent, I want to know that the perspective is that we are the primary educators, and that has deference. That is, you know, if you're not comfortable, we're not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me when I was at Regina Chaley that the parents were so comfortable walking into that building. You know, there's a lot of parents who come, they're dropping their kids off. And I could, correct me if I'm wrong here, Carol, is it's almost like daycare. All right, you got them. You fix all the problems that I can't handle at home, and bring them back to me better because I can't deal with it. We have a parent on the line. I don't know if he's a parent of a Regina school, but Greg has called in, which is awesome. This is going to be great radio. Greg wants to say a word, so hopefully it's positive. Let's hear what you have to say, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, we had approached the school. We were from a parish school, and we were looking for the non-Common Core and the classical curriculum. So you talk about the religion and the prayer, but you also need to extend that into the math and English. Mm. And so we were really impressed, you know, by the care that we got from the administrators and telling us all about how it was a different school. And the classroom size really impressed us.
Do you have students, I'm sorry to cut you off, Greg, that go to a Regina school? It sounds like you do.
Yeah. Yes,
what school do your kids attend?
Regina Chile in Abington.
Okay, so Regina Chile. So, okay, very good. Continue, please.
Yeah, so we found when we got there, our teacher, it was so different. The teachers were thanking us for bringing our children there and the gift of our children
nice.
To be taught at that school, and it was just made you feel so good. You trusted the care that your children were getting. And the children were so respectful to each other as well. So I thought that was pretty impressive. And when I heard Mr. Keith say earlier that your children are so happy, yeah, you might hear all the principals maybe say that, but I'm here to tell you that it's unbelievable, my son, how happy he is at that school, how he comes home. And
great.
I guess it's the attention he's getting. He just feels happy and wanted. And
beautiful.
He's new to this school this year, and he just felt so cared for.
So his first year at Regina?
Regina, yeah.
His first year. Look at that. A satisfied customer.
God bless you.
We got 2 minutes left. I'll let Mr. Chris Keefe, your headmaster here, respond because, it's one of his students.
Well, again, thanks, Greg, for calling in to the show and for that, glowing recommendation. I really appreciate that. And like you mentioned, I mean, it is something where the children are happy, and we do everything that we can to work with the parents in the education of their children and to really give them what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. And that is what fulfills the human soul, the human heart. And that's, that's what we're trying to do with these children. Give them that foundation so that they can succeed and be who God wants them to be in life.
All right, we got a little less than 2 minutes left. We want to give out open house information. I'm going to let Mr. Patterson go, and then we'll let you go, Chris. Mike, what's your next open house? How can people get more information?
We have Shadow Day on March the 14th. You can go to sjbottsville.org. If you come out, your children can spend the day with us. And one of the things that you'll be able to discern is how every day we speak about the greatness of our faith and also the greatness of our country.
Good. Is there an open house coming up, too, that people can learn?
Right now, not an open house.
Okay.
We get a lot of success with Shadow Days.
Shadow Days. Okay, Shadow Days. That's March 14th. How about you?
So at Regina Chaley, www.yrca.com. And we have our next open house on March 19th. It's a Saturday. It's actually going to be an open house coupled with an Easter egg hunt. And if anybody wants to take a tour, I'm available. I try to make myself available to parents, to anybody who wants to talk, so they can call in and schedule a tour.
All right, time always flies by, so let's give that out again. So it's www.yrca.com for Regina Chaley. March 19th, open house, Shadow Day at Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist, March 14th. Y, that's WHYRCA.com, not YRCA. That's WHYRCA. And again, Regina Academy, just Google Regina Academy at St. John the Baptist. You'll find it. All the best. God bless.
All right, thank you.